WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. You've taken 30 minutes. Well, I thank you for tuning in here for 30 minutes today to hear a word from God today. That's why we've called this program WGOD. God is always broadcasting, and He always has a word for you if you go to where He's speaking. That is His infallible word. That's why the word of God is the focal point of this program and of all my sermons. Preach verse by verse, let the word of God speak. You're going to hear today now a sermon which was preached by my associate pastor, Darren Solana, on Sunday. It was one of his finest sermons. And this is part two, free will. Now, I know this came about because we've been studying Romans on Wednesday night and speaking about Wednesday night and speaking about Romans. If you are tuned into the 5:30 p.m. edition, you've got 25 minutes to hightail it to Island Community Church tonight. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Island Community Church, 6 to 7 o'clock. We're continuing in Paul's section of the book of Romans, talking about the free will of man and predestination. We're in chapter 10. We're looking there specifically at what happened to the Jews. What happened to the nation of Israel? He's going to tell us flat out in the last three verses of chapter 9 what happened. Is that they were seeking the righteousness of God by the works of the law. And the Gentiles who were not seeking after righteousness have attained to the righteousness of God, even the righteousness of faith. Like Abraham, that's where we're at tonight. You are invited. Love to see you. 6 o'clock. If you're unable to make it, join us on the app. That'll be live. It's Island Community Church FL. So if you're not doing anything tonight, if you're unable to make it here to church, why don't you watch us online? I promise you're going to have a good time. You can submit your questions online. My wife will be following along on Facebook. That's the other way of watching. If you are a Facebook kind of person, it'll be on there as well. Island Community Church is the Facebook page, 6 to 7. Leave your comment and or question on there. She'll read them to me, and I'll read them through the microphones. Everyone can hear them, and I'll do my best to try to answer it if it's a question. We'd love to see you tonight at 6. Here now, second part of this message here, and Pastor Darren really did a great job on this. Looking at and a most often overlooked thing regarding free will and the sovereignty of God. And that is what has to change in a person in order for them to believe. That is their nature. They need a new nature. That is where he focused on. Brilliant sermon. Let's hear the rest of it now.
Two words. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's a gift that's been given to us that allows us to make a choice for God. This gift, we didn't come by it on our own. It's a gift. It's been given. And it's a gift of faith. And you must have it to believe. Not everyone has it. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is written with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." John 15:16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be praised, should be to the praise of his glory. I'm going to say it loud and clear. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Lest any man should boast. Salvation is of the Lord. Colossians 2:13 says, "We were dead in our trespasses and he made us alive." And I often think, when we see the story of Lazarus, when Jesus is raising Lazarus from the tomb, we also oftentimes look at that as a miracle of a physical display of it. But I've also looked at it as spiritually what happens to us. Story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. I think it's a very good illustration of what happens to us spiritually at rebirth. By remembering Colossians 2:13, "And you who were dead, he made alive." There's an appointed time when a call goes out. There was a point in time when a call went out to Lazarus, and that call was, "Lazarus, come forth." Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. I believe in our spiritual life, at the appointed time, there's a call that comes out. And that call is Paul Esposito. come forth. Bill, come forth. It's a spiritual rebirth. Born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have to be. Why? Because we were dead. And a dead man's not going to make a choice. Not for God. The Bible is clear on it. The nature has to be changed for a choice to be made. Other than that, we're just going to keep going around the same old mountain and doing the same old thing we've always done. Because our nature has to be changed. It has to be changed. Thing that Jesus tells the people around him to do. He said, untie him, unloose him from those grave clothes. That's the church's job. That's the church's job, to unloose us from all that stuff, from the natural man that we've been living all our lives. We come in here and we start renewing our mind with the Word of God. But Lazarus, he was as alive as could be, but bound up in his grave clothes. He needed to be untied. And I thought, it seemed to me very interesting how Jesus didn't go up there and untie him. He told the people around him, untie him. Incorporated them in that. That's what we're doing here. Or untying us from our old grave clothes. There's a lot of people in here would say, but Pastor, I did make a choice. I know you did. I did too. There was choices that I made. I made a choice to repent. I made a choice to believe. And I did those things. But I can't take glory in them. Because if he had not enabled me, I wouldn't have made those choices. And guess what? I can stand up here and say, yeah, I did repent. I made a choice. And I repented. You know what? Repentance is a gift. You don't have that on your own. That's a gift. So who gets the glory for your repentance?
God
gets the glory. You say, well, I want to show you that it's a gift. Acts 11, chapter 11, verse 18. It says, when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. 2 Timothy 2:25, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. I don't think I got to explain to anybody in here that faith is a gift. Right? We've covered that one, right? Ephesians. So, can we boast in repentance? Can we boast in faith? How about believing? Can we boast in that? Philippians 1:29. I told you this wasn't going to be easy. Your flesh ain't going to like this at all. It's the truth. It's the Word of God, and it's the truth, and it's who we are apart from Him. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer. To you it's been granted to believe in him. It's a gift. It's a gift. Then he goes on to say, and I certainly am not going to get into that today, that suffering is a gift too. I'll say it again. Salvation is of the Lord. And that may be hard for some of us to accept. It was for me. Honestly, it was for me. When I first got saved, I was feeling pretty good about myself. Because I didn't know who I was. It wasn't until I started reading the Bible and discovered who I was. And it hurt. I almost got to a point where I was like, man, I'm afraid to read the Bible today because I know it's going to tell me something else about myself. And you know what? It was right. Now, I may sit there and argue it back and forth with me and Richie. Richie don't know my past, but I do. And God does. And the Bible was revealing it. It's like God took a big old flashlight and said, see that stuff right there? I couldn't lie to God. But it hurt. I thought I was a pretty righteous guy. I thought I was a pretty good old boy until you stood me up next to Jesus. And I was foul and nasty compared to him. But you know what? How would you feel if you went to the doctor and you had something wrong with you? And he didn't tell you. You're good. See you in a year. Yeah, it hurts. But it wasn't until I found out who I was without Christ that I understood who I was with him. It's who I understood. When you start finding out who you are about without Christ, you'll look at that cross a lot differently. Like the song we just sang said, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. There's a part of me that wants to say, no. See, I made a choice for Christ. You didn't. I made a choice. That means I'm a little bit smarter than you or you. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with smarts. Maybe it means to me, I'm a little better than you are. Better than you are. When you understand it, that he did all the work, then that puts us all on the same playing field.
Amen.
All of us. And you know what? If he's the one that did all the work, who gets all the glory? He does. But your flesh doesn't like that. And that old man certainly don't like it. Wednesday nights, you see me over here, and he's talking about it, and I'm... And why I get so dogmatic about this. And I tell you why. Because he deserves all the glory. Not me. Why did he do it? Because he wanted to. And you know what? That's his business. I thank God that he did it.
Amen.
But we sit in a church of people who all got here the same way. There's not one person in here better than anybody else. Not one person. I am way off of my notes. Here we go. Where am I? Give me a minute to find myself here. The more that we understand that, the more that will humble us. And we are called to walk in humility. I don't like humility. That's who I am to be. If I'm to be a Christian, I need to walk in humbleness and humility. I know who I am apart from Christ. I'm still figuring out who I am with him. And it's been amazing. But I can tell you the truth. I remember when I first started reading the Bible, I thought to myself, is there anything in here that I haven't done? You know? Is there any sin in this book I haven't committed? Get up the next day, read. Oh, there's another one. I thought I was doing good there. You know? And it just kept driving me further and further and further and further down to my knees. And when you get down there, you might as well look up and say, God, have mercy on me.
Hallelujah.
You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If I don't tell you the truth, you're not going to know the truth. Once you get it, it will set you free. I'll be about a month to start feeling something kind of different. I was highly disappointed. Because like I said, I'd go through the Bible and man, is there anything in here I haven't done wrong? And I thought, well, hey, I did one thing right. I chose Christ. I did one thing right. Praise God. Hey. Oh, hey, I'd say, at least I got one. I chose Christ. The Bible said, hold up. No. I chose you. Oh, where did that put me? Back down on my knees. God have mercy on me. It was hard for me to accept that. It really was. And then the more that the truth of God's word sank into my heart, the more peace I got from it. Because if God is totally in charge and totally responsible for my salvation, then there's no way I can screw it up. Because I didn't do it. Because I know me well enough, I will screw up my salvation. Sorry, I wish I could find a better word to say. Mess up, that doesn't give it enough punch. If it was up to me, I certainly would do it. I know myself that well. History's proven that. We can go down into Cocoa and there's hundreds of people down there tell you that's the Lana boy. If anybody can mess up salvation, it'd be him. I didn't have any part in it. I didn't have any more part in being born again than what I did being born the first time. Right? I didn't do it. Hallelujah. You know what? All together. That's good news. Let me get a little break here. Now, I don't have that kind of authority. Am I making any sense today? You see where I'm at on Wednesday nights when this thing comes up and everybody goes, well, does man have free will? Is God sovereign or does man have free will? Why does it have to be either or? Certainly man has free will according to his nature. But everybody just argues the point about is God sovereign or is man sovereign? That's not the point. God is sovereign. Man does have free will to operate like a natural, miserable scoundrel, to be perfectly who he is. He has the free will to do that all day long. Thank God that he intervenes in that instead of just leaving us to ourselves. But, I'm not going to be a diehard Calvinist up here either. I'm not going to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. I'll close with this. It says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus. If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Christ died for all. What does that mean? It means the way's clear. The way's clear. Christ died for all. The way's clear. Based upon everything that I've said today, right out of the Bible, it's not my words, his words. If you can find some way to change your nature, if you can find some way to come to Jesus without the Father drawing you, if you can find some way around everything that I've preached today, Christ says, come. He died for all. The way is clear. If you can find a way around it, the way is clear. It's not, well, I didn't. Oh, no. I left you out. That wasn't part of the cross. I left you out.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father,